But as we get started this evening, I'm very happy to welcome to our program first Jesse Lava. He's a campaign director with Brave New Foundation, affiliated with Robert Greenwald's Brave New Film Company. Jesse helped oversee the investigation that is the basis for Greenwald's new documentary film titled Koch Brothers Exposed, about the political activities and agenda of the billionaire owners of Koch Industries. And I want to welcome Jesse to the program right now. Jesse, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
So first of all, tell us how this film came about. There's a lot of topics that Robert Greenwald and you and the crew there at Brave New Films tackle. Some important stuff that doesn't get attention as it should in the corporate media. But tell us about the Koch Brothers project and why that was important to tackle at this moment.
Sure. Well, you may remember that in the New Yorker magazine, there was a wonderful piece by Jane Mayer in 2010 that exposed for the very first time to millions of Americans who the Koch brothers were, that they were kind of these secretive billionaires who put hundreds of millions of dollars into right-wing projects and influenced elections in an outsized way. They were buying a bigger bullhorn than anybody else. And when Robert Greenwald, my boss, I'm the director here, read that article, he said, you know what, this is something that has to be in video form. We need to do some more investigating of this. This is just the beginning, because really one of the big challenges of our time is the rise of corporate power, and it's the rise of unaccountable corporate power. It's not just the fact of some people having a lot of money. It's not the fact of some corporations being large. It's the fact of the public not being able to exercise some measure of accountability over these private organizations that distribute resources at a much bigger scale than pretty much any other institution in the world. So this is something that we thought was a really important marker of our age, both for the purposes of democracy and just for the day-to-day lives of regular people who suffer because of what the Koch brothers do.
I should mention at this point that we are in the midst of our two-week fund drive right now here on listener-supported WPKN, and we're very happy that you guys over at Brave New Films are going to be helping us out by supplying some copies of this video DVD of Koch Brothers Exposed that we're offering as premiums tonight after we get off the phone with you. So as that's set up, I would like to ask you to talk about what I feel was a very powerful film. What are the essential things that people need to know about the Koch brothers in U.S. politics, groups they support, and positions that they advocate?
Sure. Well, let me first say that WPKN is doing such important work, and I'd strongly encourage your listeners to call up and support you guys. Without public radio and without the kind of listener-supported radio that there is, all we'd have is corporate radio run amok, and we really need alternatives, so it's up to you guys to make sure that those alternatives continue to exist. It doesn't just happen out there independent of what you guys do. It happens precisely because of you.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate that.
Sure. And then I would also say, in terms of the essentials for things to know about the Koch brothers, these are two guys who have $62 billion between them, and they use that wealth to keep down what has been metaphorically termed the 99%, or say symbolically termed the 99%. And they do it in a lot of ways. One key way is they use their wealth to create an echo chamber of misinformation. So let's take one issue as an example, Social Security. They've given millions upon millions of dollars to all kinds of think tanks, the Mercatus Center, Cato Institute, Heritage Foundation, and these think tanks put out papers saying that Social Security is going broke. How many times have all of your listeners heard that expression, Social Security is going broke, Social Security is going bankrupt? That's because the Koch brothers and people like them have paid a lot of money to make sure that that's the message you hear. They create this echo chamber by funding these groups to say this, even though it's not true. And then politicians hear that, they put that into bills. Media outlets such as Fox News, but also lots of regular mainstream outlets as well, will put that into their news stories and act as if it's true. Soon enough, you start hearing it so many times because you think, gee, we've got to start cutting Social Security if we want to save it. The reality is that Social Security has a $2.7 trillion surplus, and for decades, it is expected to remain solvent. The only thing that will make Social Security insolvent is if we cut it. So this argument that we need to destroy Social Security in order to save it is the kind of things that the Koch brothers do in the public discourse to achieve a minimal government and a pro-corporate agenda, where things like Social Security, which is an extremely popular program, they don't want those kinds of examples of successful social programs being in existence. That's why they want to dismantle Social Security.
We're speaking tonight with Jesse Lava, campaign director with Brave New Foundation. We're talking about the new film documentary produced by Brave New Films, Robert Greenwald directing, and he's got a long track record of great and important topical films. And this one is called Koch Brothers Exposed, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We'll be offering it as a premium in a little bit. But, Jesse, I wanted to have you summarize a little bit about the Koch brothers, David and Charles, and their father, Fred Koch, the founder of Koch Industries. He had an interesting history, having engaged in work on Soviet Union oil drilling under contract with Stalin in the old Soviet Union. He helped found the John Birch Society, supported Mussolini's fascist crackdown on the left in Italy, there, pre-war Italy, and anti-civil rights record. This guy is a real piece of work. Tell us about Fred Koch.
Well, I think you just did a good job of summarizing Fred Koch, but the reality is that the Koch brothers, who like to portray themselves as self-made men and who like to pretend that we live in a society where anybody who's wealthy somehow just did it all themselves, you know, what was the expression, that they're born on third base and think they hit a triple, or in this case maybe born on home plate and think they hit a home run, because their dad, who had these engineering contracts with Stalin's Soviet Union, left them hundreds of millions of dollars. And yes, they parlayed that in a way through some very cutthroat business practices to have the $62 billion fortune that the two of them have today. But this is a perfect example of the lack of equal opportunity and how we need a more level playing field, that you don't get rich just because you have the best ideas, just because you're the hardest worker. You get rich because you were put in a position to become rich, or in their case, they just started that way. So Fred Koch epitomizes both some of the things that were wrong politically in the 1960s in terms of supporting getting rich off of communism on the one hand, while then turning around and founding the John Birch Society, denouncing communism on the other, and also denouncing integration through the John Birch Society, but then also the plutocratic nature of the last 50 years that we've had in terms of an increasing concentration of wealth. He represents that.
And one of the things that I found very disturbing in the documentary was a chapter that talked about the Koch brothers, the current living Koch brothers, David and Charles, in their efforts to help candidates in a school board election in North Carolina. To essentially, the essential and important agenda item there was to resegregate the schools. And, you know, this was in the early 2000s, right? You can sort of, a few years ago, it wasn't even that long
ago. Just a few years ago, yeah.
But maybe you can summarize for us a bit about the Koch brothers, their agenda in this North Carolina town, in terms of their efforts to resegregate the schools. The first question that comes to mind, why?
Right. Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, they did this through Americans for Prosperity, which is a group that David Koch founded, and he serves as the chairman of the Americans for Prosperity Foundation Board, which is one of the arms of the organization, so he's intimately intertwined with us. So sometimes, just for the record, they like to say, oh, that was, if it's ever unpopular and they're going to get in trouble, they say, oh, it wasn't us, it was Americans for Prosperity. We just founded and run it. You know, I mean, let's get real here. And they also continue to fund it, as they acknowledge and as Americans for Prosperity acknowledges. But in terms of the actual issue of resegregation of schools, here's what happened. It was in Wake County, North Carolina, and they had a model of an integrated school district. And there were some people who wanted to make sure that rich white kids got to stay going to school with rich white kids, and more underclass African Americans would just continue to go to school with other underclass African Americans. integration was not on the minds as a priority of the folks in this area, and in fact, keeping one of their own, keeping their own kids with their own kind, so to speak, was more of a priority. Americans for Prosperity got involved in this in helping some of the candidates who are running for school board. And so what these school board candidates ended up doing is they ended up using code words from right out of George Wallace in the segregation era, things like forced busing or neighborhood schools, where when you're in the South, you know exactly what that means. These are code words for racial bigotry and for racial segregation. And this is exactly what they used. And actually, these, with the support of Americans for Prosperity, these candidates ended up winning an election, and the schools started getting resegregated. Integration started getting dismantled in Wake County. But here is a positive end to the story. There ended up being such a backlash when all this publicity came out about what the Koch brothers had been supporting through Americans for Prosperity. There ended up being such a backlash that in the very next election, the old people who wanted, or the people who had just been elected who wanted to resegregate the schools, they got kicked out. And instead, the schools started getting reintegrated. So there is hope. Just because the Koch brothers support something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Now, in terms of why they want to do this, you know, the Koch brothers tend to have a very pro-corporate agenda, and it seems as if in places like Wake County, when there is a model of integration where the government says, here's a way that we can work out a school district to be for the benefit of all, what they would much rather do is say, here's an example of how public schools are not working, and make sure that we can gradually chip away at the model of public education that has been so prominent in this country for the last 100 years. Slowly but surely, whether it's through this, whether it's through vouchers and privatization in other ways, we can turn that hundreds of billions of dollars that are in the market for public schools over to private hands. It's a gradual process. It's a small piece of it, but we think that the Koch brothers' ideology and to some extent just plain old greed helps drive these efforts to chip away at public education.
Now, Jesse, I wanted to ask you about something that was in the news just in the last couple of days. It turns out Koch Industries on October 1st sent voter information packets to 45,000 employees of its Georgia-Pacific subsidiary, saying to the employees and their contractors that they may suffer the consequences of voting for President Obama and Democrats. This is maybe done by some employers at some time through U.S. history and elections. But certainly this is an outlier in terms of the way employers behave, you know, when it comes to an employee's personal choice in who they vote for in U.S. elections, is it not?
It absolutely is. I mean, certainly corporations have political action committees, and corporations get politically active. And they like to kind of hide behind that, say, hey, this is just free speech. The problem is that this is free speech with an imbalance of power. And in that very same article that came out in the magazine In These Times, we had somebody who had given a quote to The Nation magazine and who had said things against the Koch brothers and their politics and working for Koch Industries. And in this article, it revealed that he had been punished for that, that he had applied for a promotion to become a shop foreman in a Koch factory, and he was denied the ability to do that because they said, you're too political. And I think he knew exactly what that meant. He had given this quote to the Nation magazine. So it is a dangerous way to approach things, and it actually reflects the broader problem of unaccountable corporate power and the general problem of weak unions, of workers who cannot collectively bargain, of a situation in which workers are completely dependent on their employers, and employers can say, hey, we're just doing free speech, and it is de facto intimidation.
Another episode I'd like to review that is covered in the film, Jesse, and that was during the film you talk about a spoof that was done to Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin during the height of the protests by unionists and their allies across Wisconsin in protest of Governor Scott Walker's legislation that really outlawed collective bargaining by the state's public employees unions. Somebody over at a radio station did a spoof, pretended to call Scott Walker disguise their voice as David Koch, a benefactor, a large benefactor to Scott Walker's political campaigns. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, well, you know, this guy, it's funny. He said that he wasn't even imitating David Koch per se, although he said he was David Koch. He said he did something like random old evil person's voice, and it was, you know, just talking this deep voice, kind of like that. And all he did was, it didn't take very much to get Scott Walker to start going on and on, rambling about all the good things that he was doing to break the unions in Wisconsin. All of a sudden, he just called there and said he wanted to talk to Scott Walker. This is David Koch. What's the latest? And Scott Walker started kissing up to him like he was his boss. And that tells you something right there. In Wisconsin, let's say you're in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and you're a school teacher, or you're in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, as a school teacher. Do you think it's even remotely conceivable that you could call up Scott Walker and say, hey, what's the latest? What's going on? And have him care at all what you think? I mean, to ask the question is to answer it. The reason that he would talk to a non-constituent, David Koch, is that that's where his bread is buttered. He knows that his campaigns, both in terms of his electoral campaigns and his efforts to break the unions in Wisconsin, were heavily financed by him. And that is another demonstration of just how important it is to have a society more of equal opportunity and less of concentrated wealth. Because when you have this kind of concentrated wealth, that's precisely what will happen, and that's what we talk about in Koch Brothers Exposed.
We're speaking with Jesse Lava, campaign director with Brave New Foundation. We're talking about the film that he helped lay the groundwork for in investigating the activities of the billionaire Koch brothers, the Robert Greenwood film documentary titled Koch Brothers Exposed. And Jesse, there's another topic before we say goodnight I just wanted to cover briefly, and that is the Koch brothers, through their foundations, are a big supporter of a national organization called ALEC. The American Legislative Exchange Committee. And this group has sponsored a lot of crazy legislation across the country, relaxed gun laws, as we saw with the Trayvon Martin case. It entered there in Florida. But also the voter ID laws that have been promulgated across the country in an effort, I think a blatant effort, to suppress votes of certain demographic and racial groups. Tell us about that and what the Koch brothers are trying to do here.
Sure. Well, you know, if you can't buy the debate, although they certainly are trying and they certainly put a lot of money into it, and you can't completely buy the way people think enough to win all the elections you want, then you have another alternative, which is to just stop the other guys from voting. And that's precisely what's happening with the voter ID laws. So the Koch brothers are major supporters of ALEC, as you said, the American Legislative Exchange Council. And when, recently when the Trayvon Martin stuff happened, because ALEC had pushed for these stand your ground laws, all of a sudden a whole bunch of groups that had been, or companies that had been associated with ALEC started running for cover. McDonald's, Coca-Cola, a bunch pulled out of ALEC. Koch brothers, of course, are so intimately tied to it, and they're such the ideological brethren of ALEC, that wasn't going to happen. The Koch brothers decided that they're going to, you know, stick with them till the bitter end. And this group has a pro-corporate agenda where they try to ease regulations, cut taxes for the rich, and the way voter ID fits in is that it's easier to elect candidates that are favorable to a pro 1%, to a pro-corporate agenda, if you can take away some of the voters from the bottom 99%. So these voter ID bills sound innocuous enough. They say, you know, if you're going to vote, you should have to show some kind of ID to prevent voter fraud. The problem is there are barely any instances of voter fraud in person in the United States. It basically doesn't happen. So they're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist in terms of what they're saying their purpose is, which suggests they're really not trying to stop in-person voter fraud. What they're trying to do is stop the people who are less likely to have IDs, elderly, students, the poor, people of color. When you get a couple percent of the population out of the voter pool that way, that just makes your job a little bit easier to win elections for the 1%.
Well, as we say goodnight, Jesse, I wanted to ask you one last question, and that is, what's the objective of this film, in addition to alerting us to the activities and the predilections of the billionaire Koch brothers? Is this a call to action, and if so, for what?
Absolutely. We need to take our democracy back. And I know that that sounds gauzy and you hear things like that all the time, but really there is something very profoundly important at stake. We're not supposed to be in a plutocracy. We are supposed to be in a democracy. The problem is that most people have no idea what the Koch brothers are doing. For the people who are listening, think about your cousins, your friends, your brothers, your coworkers. Most of them, maybe they've kind of sort of heard of the Koch brothers. Probably they haven't, or maybe they haven't. This has to get out there, because the way that people can fight to get their democracy back is if they know the mechanism by which it's being taken from them. And that's what the Koch brothers are doing. They're precisely trying to take our democracy from us. And with this film, we hope to inspire, educate, and agitate. We want people to show this to everyone they know. Go to KochBrothersExposed.com. You can get a DVD there. You can show, you can do screenings. You can sign up to do a screening where people in your area can come to it. Go and do that so that people understand how their democracy is evaporating. That's how we can get it back.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse, for your work on this film. Thanks for being here and talking about the film with us tonight. And also thank you and Robert Greenwald, all the folks at Brave New Films and the Foundation, for helping support our radio station by offering DVD copies that we're giving away as gifts to people who make contributions tonight during our fund drive. So all that, a big thank you for all that you do. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Okay, Jesse. Good night.
Good night.
That's Jesse Lava, campaign director with Brave New Foundation. We're talking about the film Koch Brothers Exposed, and this is a must-see film.